Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Did you see, Seth, the Texans, the report cards are still rolling in on the Texans offseason? Here, Pro Football Focus graded everybody's offseason earlier this week. And the Texans continue to get good grades. The Texans received from Pro Football Focus. I thought this was interesting the way they did this grade. They do it, they give an overall grade. They have three categories: offseason grade, free agency grade, and draft grade. You would think that the offseason grade would be sort of a blend of free agency and the draft. Free agency grade for the Texans, they gave a grade of average, and then draft grade, they gave a B+. The overall offseason grade, though, was an A-, which I started thinking. I'm like, okay, well, what else did the Texans do besides free agency and the draft? Oh, yeah, that's right. They traded their franchise quarterback.
Yeah. They got a lot of credit for trading Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I'll give Pro Football Focus credit. I don't know if I were outside of Houston and appraising the Texans offseason, that was such a unique situation that I might not have even included it, because there's no real positive way to frame that other than you turned a bad situation. You got the best you could out of a really bad situation.
Yep.
I think where it changes a little bit is because Nick Caserio stepped into that situation. He wasn't part of creating it. Although you could say maybe if he had more artfully gotten out of his New England contract and just gotten his ass here in 2019, we could have avoided a lot of this mess. But still.
The world changes quite a bit.
Well, you know what? Maybe it would have been a bigger mess, though, because then Deshaun would have...
Then they would have
probably had the same issues. I don't think Caserio would have been the guy to counsel Deshaun on his massage therapies.
That's okay. Those are the issues you're referring to. Okay. Yeah. No, I was going to say it really is interesting to think of what the world might have looked like if Deshaun had actually been happy with the direction of the organization, happy with how the organization was being run, and had his legal issues like that. You know, the weird thing is the legal issues put the Texans in a spot where a lot of the fan base kind of bailed on Deshaun for multiple reasons, not just the legal issues. Like, you know, it made it easier to move on from Deshaun for a lot of people.
Yeah.
If Deshaun were still beloved and the team were doing well, this would be a much trickier spot they would have been in, for sure.
There's just so much stuff going on with that situation. My God, I'm so glad to be done with it.
Me too. Oh,
it's just, it's
Me too.
There was so, just going on and trying to explain it to people whenever I would do guest appearances. Whoa, I would stress about it for like days beforehand. Like, how do I explain everything that's going on here?
Yep.
But the Deshaun Watson situation, if one of those two things hadn't been the case, if Deshaun had never asked for a trade, but then he had all those legal issues, or vice versa, if Deshaun had asked for the trade and then there were no legal issues, like what would have happened then? I think that I've got a really strong suspicion that perhaps the Texans would have hung on a little bit more tightly if there were no legal issues. But they were on the verge of changing when everything popped up. But the timing is still a little hazy.
They were gonna trade him anyways, from the reports. So
I just don't know. I get various tidbits about who knew what, and it's all in conflict. And I don't know.
Yep. 713-572-4610 if you want in. Probably the most whack take, speaking of quarterbacks, that I've seen so far about Davis Mills, the Texans starting quarterback. We will share it with you next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, so Chris Sims does his top 40 quarterbacks every year. And he ranks his top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's ranked Davis Mills. He counts down from 40 down to 1. I don't know where he is in the countdown. He's the only one I've seen is 31 through 40. He may have gone further than that, but that gives you an idea of where Davis Mills is. Here's what he said about Davis Mills. We're going to play some audio from Chris Sims in just a moment here. This was his tweet, Seth. About Davis Mills. Up and down early last year, but came back a different player down the stretch. Knows how to read defenses and move in the pocket. Not a huge arm, but can make all the throws. Texans may have a diamond in the rough, and he deserves a shot to prove it. Hashtag Sims top 40. Now, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, of which Davis Mills is one of them. I would read that assessment of Davis Mills, and I would think, okay, I'm probably somewhere between 20 and 30, you know, with a little bit of unknown, but there's mostly positive in that tweet right there. He's 35th. He's not even one of the top 32 quarterbacks, according to Chris Sims. And he is, not just that he's 35th, these are the quarterbacks that he is behind. This is 31 through 34. And these are the only ones I've seen so far. 31, Trey Lance, who's played like two games. 32, Sam Darnold, who, if you're asking me who I'd rather have, Davis Mills or Sam Darnold, give me Davis Mills all day long. Geno Smith is 33. Tyler Huntley is 34. Davis Mills, 35. Just ahead of his former teammate, Tyrod Taylor at 36.
It gets weirder when you go and watch the Chris Sims. I think it's Chris Sims Unbuttoned is his podcast.
Okay.
Because it's what he tweeted was nice about Davis Mills. I went to the podcast, Sean, and it was like 10 minutes of unrestrained gushing about Davis Mills and how promising he is and just how much more impressive he was than he thought he'd be.
Which do we want to – we've got the audio. Which do you want to hit first here?
I'll come off with – this was the closest thing, and he started off with this. This was the closest thing that Chris Sims had said about Davis Mills that was criticism.
He does have a few mechanical things where I go, like Joe Burrow did last year to throw the ball harder and stronger. Davis Mills can fix a few mechanics in his game to allow him to throw the ball a little more explosively too.
Yeah. So, and he talked about his, he's got a little bit of a long release. He brings his arm back a little too far sometimes. And he brought that up mostly just because the picture they were showing was of him locked in that position.
Okay.
And that was good and valid in criticism, I think. He talked about, you know, Aaron Rodgers had the same thing. He had to work on mechanics there. He hosts this podcast. It's where, who is that guy? That guy from...
I'm looking at him right now. He looks familiar. I don't know his name.
Yeah. At the description of the podcast, this is like his co-host. Oh, it's Paul somebody.
Okay.
Or his last name is Paul. Anyway, there's no description of the guy. It's just, this is the Chris Sims podcast.
It's the button down podcast, and it looks like the logo is an homage to Chris Sims' gimmick where he buttons his top button all the time.
Unbuttoned podcast.
Oh, it's the unbuttoned podcast. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So that was probably the most critical he'd been. And then he went on to talk about how the season went for him and how he came back better the second time.
Hey, he's a rookie, and he was on not a very good team that couldn't run the ball.
And then got to go to the bench and kind of think about it a little
reassess,
bit.
Reassess, right?
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Again, yeah, reassess, take a deep breath. Wait, why am I making this so hard? Damn, coach just said go 1-2-3. Why the fuck am I going 1-3-4 and doing all this shit? So, yeah, he came back a different player.
Stats say it.
The stats say it. The film says it. He came back more confident and sure of himself.
Ooh, that is unbuttoned.
Paul Burmeister.
Yeah.
So Paul Burmeister and he are chopping it up. And you know the funny thing, it was on the they bleeped out the F word, but not the S word on that one. I almost messed it up. I was gonna send it to Ben without alerting him to that. So yeah, he lets it go on the podcast.
Okay,
Sean.
It is indeed an unbuttoned podcast. Yeah.
I mean, that sounded more like of an indictment of the Texans than it was a Davis Mills himself. And I do think that matches what a lot of us saw, which was when he came back the second time. You could see that his command at the line of scrimmage was a lot better, that he was different. Maybe looked better than the 35th best quarterback in the NFL. Well, guy that shouldn't, yeah.
Sure was some sugar he sprinkled on him there. Is there more? Is there more from Christopher Sims?
He has, yes. He thinks that, Chris Sims thinks that Davis Mills also has pocket presence.
He is good in the pocket. I mean, he plays big in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He moves well in the pocket.
Slide. I mean,
exactly.
Much better than I thought.
Exactly, right? When you turn it out.
Yeah.
And probably the number one shocking thing to me.
Pocket presence, yeah.
Pocket presence and even the ability to get out of the pocket.
A little bit.
Right. You're not going to go, oh my gosh, wow. But if the pocket collapses or there's trouble, he's a good enough athlete to get out, run for a few yards, 5-10 yards, or, you know, make a throw on the run.
Yeah, but he's no Geno Smith, evidently, though.
I'm not just cherry-picking the good stuff, by the way. I had to cut out a lot of good stuff that he was saying about Davis Mills.
Oh,
so aside from, okay, Davis Mills has to work on a few things mechanically, but he showed a lot of growth and came back smarter in the second half of last season. He has pocket presence. Oh, and by the way, Sean, he's also advanced for his age.
His ability to play the position is, you know, pretty advanced for the age that he's at right now.
All right.
Yeah. So I can't wait to hear what he says about Justin Fields and all these other guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The one that's ranked 27th is going to sound like he's getting ready to go to Canton.
We've gone through this was a full, I think it was about 10 minutes of podcast where the only negative thing he said about Davis Mills was that early in the season, he wasn't going through his progressions well, but then he got really good at it at the end of the season.
The one thing he brought up, he actually got better at as the year went
on. Well, and he brought up that he needs to work on some mechanical issues. But this is where it all comes to a head, is that I think that Chris Sims kind of did like a cursory ranking of these guys, and I don't think he has confidence in the opinion of Chris Sims. Because listen to how apologetic he sounds as he explains why he ranked Davis Mills where he did.
I know he's a nerd and he works hard and he's all into the craft. And, and again, me knowing the jumps that guys make from year one to year two, that's where I think it justified putting him ahead of guys like Tyrod Taylor, Gardner Minshew, and Teddy Bridgewater and company.
Okay.
So there you go.
How do you justify putting him behind Geno Smith and Tyler Huntley and Sam Darnold?
That's the big one, the Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. I guess putting him in front of those three guys, Gardner Minshew, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, if you wanted to take up for any one of those guys, you could come up with an argument, I suppose. But I certainly wouldn't, especially Bridgewater, I think. But I certainly wouldn't act like it was apologetic about doing it, or like this was the weirdest thing. I'm more honestly intrigued and interested in knowing why those rookies most of whom, other than Mac Jones, didn't have a better year than Davis Mills. Like, why did he choose all those guys to be ranked ahead of Davis Mills?
The only thing I'll say to take up for Sims is I don't fully know what his criteria is for these ratings. And so the angle that I'm coming at it at, as somebody who roots for the Texans, covers the Texans, wants the Texans to do well, is who do I want Davis Mills over this quarterback? Like, who do I want to be the quarterback of my football team? I want Davis Mills. Yeah, he should be in my rankings. He should be ahead of Minshew, Bridgewater, and Tyrod Taylor in my mind. In the same way, he should be ahead of Darnold and Geno Smith. And so part of that is, okay, the Texans are in a different part of their life cycle than other teams might be. Some team that's ready to win now would probably want Teddy Bridgewater ahead of Davis Mills just because they know what they're getting in Bridgewater. He's won before on teams with good veteran rosters and things like that. So I'm looking at it through a Texans prism where I'm like, well, no, I want the unrealized upside of a younger guy who's shown that he can do some things.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the way, the way I started that one cut where he started off with he's a nerd, he did mean that in a positive way. He was talking about his studiousness and all that stuff.
I think our show is generally a show that defaults positively towards nerds. I think nerd on this show is generally a term of affection on this show.
Yeah, every now and then I get shocked where somebody asks why I'm being mean to somebody, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, you call them a nerd. I'm like, I'm not that guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
The ogre.
Yeah. I'm not ogre. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come on. We've lived through, ever since Ogre ruled, what was the name of that school in Revenge of the Nerds?
Adams College.
Adams College.
They were the Adams really right Adams.
Really, from that period forward, the nerds have gained power and control in this country to the point where I'd be foolish to ever say anything about a nerd in anything more than a glowing attitude or vibe. Yeah.
When's the last time you watched Revenge of the Nerds?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I know it's probably not. I'm sure it sucks.
No. It's still good. I still enjoy it. I still like it. It's just interesting what was viewed on movies in the 80s as sort of just acceptable ha-ha kind of stuff that probably
on movies these days.
Yeah, like I actually did a podcast a couple of years ago with somebody who hosted a pop culture, like an 80s pop culture podcast. They followed me on Twitter and they said, oh, Sean would be a good person to have come on. And they do like breakdowns of 80s movies. So they had me on to do Revenge of the Nerds. So we did a thing where we counted how many felonies were committed on Revenge of the Nerds. You know, both various atrocities against the nerds themselves and things like the nerds putting in spy cameras in the sorority houses and you know, doing voyeuristic things, stuff like that.
Yeah, or basically seducing a woman under false pretenses.
That as
and
well.
The woman being like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that
You're
I could
amazing.
Have ever... You're a different person than I thought you were.
Yeah.
Carry on.
You, nerd, are way better at things that my beefcake boyfriend does not want to do with me. Good job.
Yeah, there was a boy. You're right.
You should rewatch it. Yeah, you'll look at it differently. It's an interesting rewatch.
There's a bunch of Harvey Weinsteins running around.
Got that right. Yep.
Omega House.
Louis Skolnick, America's Most Wanted. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Jimbo Fisher, I counted 6 different times in just the Q&A portion of his press conference yesterday, where he went off on Nick Saban. I counted 6 different times where he made either veiled or very thinly veiled assertions that Nick Saban has been a cheater. We will power rank the 6 of the assertions next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. You can call or text 713-572-4610 if you want in on the show.
Yeah, real quick, one of the listeners had asked, where would we rank Davis Mills? I think the very first what I would start with is ahead of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Unless, is Chris Sims eliminating the rookie quarterbacks?
I haven't seen his whole top 40. There's no rookies in 40 through 31, so it's probably just existing, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen the whole ranking. Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Well, and I don't know, if we're just doing the 32 starting quarterbacks, how many rookies do we think are starting week one in the NFL this year? Only one was picked in the first round. That was Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. I would put Davis Mills actually ahead of Mitchell Trubisky at this point.
Yep.
But anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Well, so. I was just going to say, I would say, just to answer the question, probably somewhere between 25 and 30 is where I'd put him.
Okay.
I just, you know, like some of the guys he's behind in this particular chunk of the list, I'm like, get out of here, man. Geno Smith, stop it.
Geno Smith is done for, kaput. There's not a single person in America that thinks that Geno Smith will one day be a consistent starting quarterback in the NFL.
Correct.
For reasons of merit. He might just because he's the only guy available or something, but yeah.
He's in his 10th year. Like, if we're going to happen.
Is he that old
by now?
Yeah,
he got drafted in 2013. If it was going to happen for Geno Smith, it would have happened already. What the hell are you doing, Chris Sims? All right. Seth, there were six times that I counted during the Jimbo Fisher press conference yesterday that Jimbo, in response to a specific question, this is to say nothing of his opening comments, which had plenty of shrapnel for Nick Saban, his 2.5-minute opening diatribe where he certainly made implications that Nick Saban had been cheating both at Alabama and possibly throughout his coaching career. There were six different times where Jimbo was asked questions. Some of them were about conduct of coaches. Some of them weren't even about that, but Jimbo steered the ship over to that. He did not waste any opportunities to throw shade at Nick Saban yesterday. So I found six of them during the press conference in the Q&A portion, and I've power ranked them from six up to one as to the ones that I think are the, you know, just the most, whoa, I can't believe he did that or said that or went there. This is the first one. This is number six on my list, where he makes casual mention of glass houses at the end.
I just know that what we did was nothing wrong, not done the wrong way. Nothing was promised. Nothing was deal. And we didn't buy any players.
You've been in this business a long time.
Seen a lot of things. It's disgusting to what we're into right now, especially by the people who are throwing the darts. We have no glass in their house.
Okay, so no glass in their house. We did
people
nothing
throwing,
wrong.
Yeah. He was trying to say the glass houses metaphor. What did he say? The
metaphor is those in glass houses should not throw stones.
Yeah, I know that. Well, but I'm trying to figure out exactly how he said it.
The audience might not know. So that's the analogy. He said those that have no glass in their house, I think he said at the end there. Ben, can you cue up the end of that?
It's disgusting to what we're into right now, especially by the people who are throwing the darts, who have no glass in their house.
No glass in their house.
So he mixed darts and somehow he mixed darts not having any glass in your glass house or something like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't fault him one bit. When you get on a roll like that and you're heated and you're emotional, you mix up a few things here or there. Everybody knows what he meant.
Yeah, you're kind of making my point for me, which is that one's sixth on the list because it was clunky. It was just kind of clunky. Number five on the list. Jimbo starts by talking about college football at large and then just kind of makes a casual drive-by at the very end there.
It's despicable for what it does for the sport. And the operations, the way things were done the other way, when the parity was there, like we said, never has been parity. Certain people never followed the rules anyway.
Okay, so just kind of a little mumble at the end there. You know, certain people never follow the rules anyways. You know,
that was pretty good. I mean, it's clear he's talking about Nick Saban.
Yeah.
The parody being a joke or it not being there. It's tough. I have a hard time with that one just because Saban did, like, to his credit, by whichever rules he was operating or, you know, in the environment of the SEC, he did create that environment where Alabama is what it is now. I think there were a couple times here where Jimbo acted like Alabama has always had these recruiting advantages or something, where this is, look, yes, they've always had a certain cachet, obviously, but the current version of it is Nick Saban.
I would submit that Saban is a big reason why the SEC as a whole has been elevated to the level it is. What is it? There's a saying about rising tides.
Rising tide carries all ships. Okay. Raises all ships.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is an element of that to the SEC. I do think Saban's – the SEC was already good. The SEC became a juggernaut in conjunction with Saban taking Alabama to where they are. So, Saban's getting a lot of heat today. I would say that the SEC at large is probably a better place for Nick Saban, having been there, than not.
You know what I thought Saban could have done more for, though, Sean? Bad NFL head coaches. I think more bad NFL head coaches should be getting opportunities as college head coaches. Everybody talks about, like, oh, Urban Meyer's ruined it for college coaches. Like, okay, yeah, well, how come bad NFL coaches aren't getting more opportunities to take over big-time college
programs? That is interesting. You hear that a lot, the NFL. Boy, the schematic. Charlie Weiss talked about that. That's why I'm triggered with this now. Charlie Weiss came from the NFL as an offensive coordinator and bragged in his opening press conference about the dramatic schematic advantage that Notre Dame would have in every game because of his NFL pedigree.
That's a problem. You took a good NFL head coach, a good NFL coach, and sent him down to college. You need to send bad NFL coaches down to college.
Is Charlie Weiss good in the NFL? You had Tom Brady.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Okay. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
Fourth on the list.
Urban Meyer was awful in the NFL. Look at how good he was in college,
true.
Sean.
Yep. Fourth on the list, he invoked Jimbo Fisher. We're power ranking the accusations of cheating by Jimbo Fisher towards Nick Saban. We counted down 6, 5, now we're down to 4. This is Jimbo Fisher making a comparison of Nick Saban and Bobby Bowden.
It's disappointing. No, it wasn't. Now, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things.
All right, so
that's the reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him.
Okay, dramatic pauses. You brought up this earlier, and I think it's a good point. The reason this one's not higher on the list, that could have alluded to any number of reasons why Nick Saban is not Bobby Bowden. You know, let's not pretend that Bobby Bowden was probably totally squeaky clean either. What you were talking about earlier when we played that quote was, that could just be Jimbo Fisher talking about how Bobby Bowden treated people versus how Nick Saban treats people.
Yeah. It's not fun working for Nick Saban.
Right.
I know somebody who turned down an opportunity to work for Nick Saban because he had worked for Nick Saban once before, and that wasn't what he was gonna. He wasn't into it. It's a rough deal. He's a different That's not anything Saban would deny. He's a really hard guy to work for.
All right, we start to get into the juicy ones now. These are the three best ones. The three best accusations of Jimbo Fisher towards Nick Saban when it comes to cheating. Where this one, he says, "Man, everyone who works for him or who has worked for him knows."
When coaches say that, come on, man. Especially, never mind. The operation and tactics of certain people who say them. And anybody who coached with him know him. And anybody out there in this business knows it. Amazing. Just go where he's been.
Okay. Now we're getting a little closer. Yeah.
So then go where he's been. I took that to be literally, okay, go talk to people at LSU. Go talk to people at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Go figure it. And I would imagine, you know, the further, like the younger you get into his career, the temptation and the motivation to maybe do things a little sketchy would have been a lot higher because he doesn't have all those natural advantages he has now that he's created for himself. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we need to talk to our friends at LSU or Michigan State.
Dude,
figure out what's going on.
Well, I mean, look, I'll tell you this. If you're somebody who used to work for Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher basically just guaranteed that you're getting a phone call from somebody today to want go on your radio show or, hey, man, can you give me some of the dirt? I know you worked for Saban for 2 years at LSU as a secondary coach. Every single one of those guys that worked for Saban at Alabama, LSU, Michigan State, They are all getting at least one phone call, if not more, today from people wanting some dirt or wanting them on their show.
Let's hope this doesn't end up reflecting poorly on the Oilers back when he was a squirrely young assistant coach,
right?
Defensive backs coach with the Oilers.
That's right. Ray Childress.
I think they may have stuffed him upside down in a garbage can in the DB meeting room at one point.
That's why he's so chippy these days.
He came in and tried that Nick Saban act on a bunch of full grown men. It was interesting. I've heard.
Two more. This is Jimbo Fisher. This is number two on my list of the power rankings here. This is where it starts to just get very, very raw. Jimbo saying, I've got nothing to hide, but not everyone can say that.
I'm not defending anybody. I'm just giving you the truth. Because I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide, and our program has nothing to hide. Be interesting if everybody can say that.
Okay, so now we're getting closer to the nerve, Seth. Now we are getting closer to, I've got nothing to hide. Others do have things to hide. And I think we know who he's talking about, Nick Saban there. So that's number two on the list. Here, this is why the next one is number one, because the actual words cheat and lie were uttered by Jimbo Fisher.
Yes, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
All right, so that is number one on the list because he says the word cheat. He says the word lie. He says that my dad said if I cheat or lie, someone should slap me. And then he basically endorses physical violence against Nick Saban.
Yeah, well, or at least wishes that it had been. He was making a case for corporal punishment,
yes.
Going back to the days. Yeah, that his father should have smacked him around more than he did.
Open hand that, slap.
Which a baller move there by Jimbo Fisher.
Yep.
If Nick Saban were so inclined, if you're a younger man and you're tanked up on spirits or something, he might take that as an insult to his father. And then it might get really interesting. These two, I feel like Jimbo Fisher has more ability, more of a natural inclination to keep this really personal. I think, let's be honest, Jimbo Fisher is more of an actual human being than Nick Saban is. Nick Saban has that kind of detachment about him that has served him well, but is also just like, you don't ever get the sense that he really connects with anybody on a human level, whereas Jimbo Fisher is more of an actual human.
Yeah.
And I think the betrayal by somebody that is a friend and mentor is probably going to hurt a lot longer for Jimbo Fisher than anything it will for Nick Saban.
Yeah, I think some of it too, Seth, on why, because I agree with you that I think Jimbo could hold on to this a little bit longer. I think of these two, the one that's going to catch the more heat from outside of just this one-on-one battle between the two of them, it's already happened. Jimbo mentioned it. Jimbo's like, this is the second time I've had to do this. This is the second time I've had to sit down, because I think it was Notre Dame's athletic director who had said, man, look at what the Aggies are doing over here. How are we supposed to compete with this? I'm guessing that there's a lot of schools that probably feel that way, and some other coach will get loose-lipped along the way. Look, when you're number one at something, that's when people come at you. Nick Saban should know as well as anybody about actual on-field stuff. He's been number one forever. The Aggies are all of a sudden putting historic recruiting classes together. My guess is some other coach or authority figure at a college is going to speak out about NIL, and A&M is going to get caught in the crosshairs again. It's the biggest topic of the offseason.
Yeah, I wonder. It's funny because it's something that, again, I hate to just jump on the NCAA because it's so easy to, but the NCAA kind of just giving up and opening the floodgates on this with relatively minimal guidance opened the door for a lot of this, because it was going to be a matter of, okay, which schools do have a better understanding of exactly what all this means and who's going to capitalize on it the quickest. The Aggies did a great job of that. The Aggies and or their boosters did a great job of taking advantage of a brand new environment. Yeah, in a lot of ways, this feels like an industry when it happens, when there's new technology or new regulations, and some company just does a better job of exploiting the new environment faster, they can get a big advantage. And I think the Aggies just flat out did that. And Saban got caught flat-footed. Saban, because don't believe for a single second that Saban is held back by his propriety or something. Because every damn step along the way, he keeps bragging about how much money his guys are making in NIL. He casually drops that his guys made $3 million in NIL last year. He was one of the first to mention how much Bryce Young was making in NIL. Like, he keeps putting it out there. So don't think for a single second, unless you just like being abused and taken advantage of, that Nick Saban isn't going to try to take advantage of all of this.
Sure.
He's pissy that Jimbo Fisher caught him flat-footed and did a better job of it, and that the Aggies did a better job of something.
Yep, he's a half-step behind, and Nick Saban's not used to being a half-step behind. I agree with you on that. Okay, this text has come in from about five different people in the last 2 minutes. 713-446. I wonder what Bill O'Brien has to say about all this. 979-848. Would love for Bill O'Brien to have an angry press conference responding to Jimbo. 713-248. Can we get a comment from Bill O'Brien, please? There's a bunch of people wanting to hear from, to be clear, Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien. Can you imagine if that's what, if Bill O'Brien became Nick Saban's heavy in this whole thing, Seth, and is like, hey, Bill, I'm just too tired of responding to this. Can you go please respond? Can you go please respond to Jimbo for me? That would be great.
Hey, I wonder if this is like when free agency was first legalized or when free agency was first passed in baseball or football. I wish I could remember who was the most aggressive team in football. 1993 was when the floodgates really opened up with like real free agency where you didn't have the plan.
It was 93.
Yeah, 93, right? Before that, there was like the plan B free agency and everything.
Plan B. 93 was when Reggie White became a real free agent, and that was a big deal.
I'm guessing there were teams and old guard people there that thought that was doing it the cheap way. You know, they're the easy way or the sleazy way. But after a little while, it becomes normalized very, very quickly. This feels like that type of situation times 10 because it's just so murky.
Yeah.
Like the rules and regulations for what you are allowed to do and can and can't do are just really poorly defined. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings.
Yeah, that's it. There were rules in the NFL, and this it feels like nobody knows what the rules are. All right, Astros win last night. They're back at it tonight. Something that you guys all need to know if you're not going to tonight's game for the Astros. We'll tell you what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.